Colossians chapter 1, we're continuing our study. We're only going to cover about four verses tonight. Last week we went and we started with basically, as in all Paul's letter, he has an introduction of greeting. And so he's talking to a church that he's never met. He's never met. He's never been there. The church was started by people who may have been under his ministry, probably was under his ministry in Ephesus. And we need to understand that if you never met before, if we're believers in Christ, we are part of God's family. And they deserve a gracious greeting. So in verses 1 and 2, who are the members of God's family? Well, they are saints. The moment we get saved, we are set apart positionally in Christ. And God imputes Christ's righteousness onto us, and we have forgiveness of sins. And Christ and God, the Father, sees Christ in us. And that's how we can go to heaven. We are faithful brothers. There's a lot of people that say they are Christians, but they are not faithful. They don't have faith. They might say the right things, but in reality, they are not a brother or sister. You know people in your family. I guarantee you, you know your brothers and sisters. Maybe you don't want to know your brothers and sisters. But my spirit agrees with your spirit that we are the children of God. And we're faithful because we trust in Christ. But positionally, we're members of God's family. But the other thing is what does that mean for us? We should be cherished. To be cherished would be seeing that everybody has intrinsic worth. Everyone's valuable. Christ would have come and died on the cross for one soul. For one soul. And because they're cherished members of God's family, they need to be greeted warmly by the grace and peace of God. We need to appreciate one another. Sunday morning we talked about exhorting one another and encouraging and discipling. We need to have a prayer of thanksgiving, which is another daily discipline that we need to have for their faith in Christ, because they heard the word of God just like we do, and it saves. For their love of Christ by the fellowship of the saints, for their hope in Christ by acting on the word. And folks, our action on the word should encourage others to act on the word, and vice versa. And if people don't see us living what the Bible says, loving one another, showing the hope that's in us, they never will get saved. They won't get saved because we need to be an encouragement. And we're going to talk about a testimony tonight. Not only are they positionally members of God's family, not only are they cherished members of God's family, but we're also supposed to be productive members of God's family by experiencing the power of the Word of God, fruitfulness that begins at salvation, fruitfulness in believing the truth of God's grace and working out our salvation or living out our salvation, by deciding to be fruitful, which means to be sanctified. You would not serve a guest your best dish, food-wise, on a dirty plate. Same way with the Christian life. We can't expect to have glory to God if we are dirty vessels. And so we need to be sanctified. We need to follow a good role model. In this case, Epaphras, who was one of them. And then he also became a fellow prisoner. And then we need to express love in the Spirit, because faithfulness overcomes adversity. And we close by looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that talked about that in their tribulation, the faith of Thessalonians went all broad into Macedonia and all of Greece. And folks, we need to have that kind of a testimony. So in verses 9 through 13, Paul makes a prayer. In all of his letters, if you read it, you will find out that there will be a prayer in there for that church's spiritual growth. And It's not a prayer for a physical life. It's a prayer for spiritual life. And the bottom line is, as we talked about Sunday morning, these are habits that we need to do. Put on the new man. Read our word. Pray. Praise. Exhort. Bear our cross. And then at night we talked about the I will. Trust and not be afraid. I will do all those things. We make vows to God that we should keep. The Christian life demands daily spiritual growth, and one of them is prayer. And we need to pray one for another. So, before we go into this a little bit deeper tonight, let's look at Paul's outlook on serving Christ. Well, it was his highest goal. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." This is a very important mindset that we need as Christians to follow. Everything that Paul did, he saw it as an opportunity to present the gospel. Where he went, who he was with, what he did, no matter what the time, it was always, and it didn't matter if he's in prison or out of prison. Everything was for the furtherance of the gospel. That was his one goal in life. The second thing is, he did what God wanted him to do. And in Acts chapter 26, if you want to turn there, we're going to read this passage. What is our testimony? I'll give you what your testimony should be. Well, I don't know how to share. Well, your testimony should have these parts in it. This is the way I was before I met Christ. And then I met Christ. After I met Christ, Christ changed me. And this is what I'm doing for Christ now. And He could change you too. Those are the elements of an effective testimony. So let's look at Paul here in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 18. So he's testifying. He's been in prison a long time. Some of us might have gotten upset about being that because he was in there unfairly. In fact, he was forgotten for a couple of years. But he was still faithful. So he's given an opportunity to present his case before King Agrippa. Verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Another thing about testimony is you telling it, not someone else telling it. "Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself." We ought to sense that being able to share our testimony should bring happiness to us. It's a wonderful opportunity. His goal was the gospel. "Before thee touching all the things where I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation, Jerusalem, know all the Jews," i.e., this is who I was, "which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Whereupon too, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, not some sort of celestial language, an understandable language. God will speak to you in terms that you can understand. Okay? Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. That's why Paul called himself an apostle, because on the Damascus road he saw the resurrected Christ. And that was the credential of an apostle. Okay? And he also had a specific message, his specific commission from Christ too. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I seek to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is who I was. I met Jesus, and he changed me, and this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm doing now. And then here's the next thing. Verse 19. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen for that. Mm-hmm. But how many of us are disobedient? We hear God. We know the Holy Spirit's talking to us to do something, and we don't do it. And so, Paul's life was changed. And when it was changed, God took the preeminence. God took first place. That was, he did what God wanted. Tonight, are we doing what God wants us to do? In every aspect of our life? Thirdly, he followed through, or he will follow through to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, a very familiar passage, can this be said of us? Can this be said of us as we're facing eternity? He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Some of us want to run away from the fight. Some of us don't even want to start the course or start the race. Some of us would just take the faith out of the box when we want it and put faith back on the shelf when we don't. But this was Paul's outlook on serving Christ. And that outlook spills out of his life. And it goes into every letter that he wrote to all these churches. And anytime he had a chance to speak, God just oozed out of him. And folks, that is a testimony. That is a testimony. So tonight, his prayer is in several parts. The very first thing that Paul's praying for them is to know what God's will is for their lives. Let me tell you what God's will is for our lives. God's will for our lives is to be saved. That's the very first one. Okay? God's will for our life is to be conformed to His image. It's right in the verse. God's will for our life is to have a meaningful relationship with Him, where we can talk to Him daily. And we talk to Him and He gives us answers back. That's the three-part will of God for our lives. So in verses 9 through 10, it says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Okay, so what is this? This is a prayer. This is a prayer, and he's encouraging the Colossians. He says, look, he says, "I heard of your faith because of Epaphras, and now I'm praying for you." And folks, when we hear the faith of others, and we know of others that are doing the same, we ought to pray for one another. And it says, and then look at what he prayed for, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So when he says, I want you to understand God's will, he wants us to understand it thoroughly. That means completely. The word "fill," which I made yellow there, is a key verse. It's to be controlled by. In the book of Galatians, he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. I guarantee you, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're trying everything you can do to please God, you're going to be right in the middle of God's will. You won't go to the places that God doesn't want you to go to. You'll go to the places that God wants you to go to. So this word "filled" is the exact same word that he uses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." And here's the principle. This causes your attitude to change. And so Paul is using an analogy here. He says, just as alcohol could affect you, the Holy Spirit should affect your walk. It should affect your life. Should affect your life. So he says, I want you to understand this thoroughly. Why? Because in this time frame, there were these guys walking around, the Gnostics, okay? And what the Gnostics thought is they thought that we were trapped, that the human spirit and soul were trapped in an imperfect world. And they thought that because of the evil and the sin and all the stuff that's in the world and the imperfection of the world, obviously God could not have made that. So they said, yeah, some divinity of lesser nature was responsible for creation, but it wasn't God. And then they go on further to say, well, you know, the real God, who's good, he's way, 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 way distant. You can't understand him unless you put your mind to it. Sounds like what? Scientology, doesn't it? Where if you can enlighten yourself and you can elevate yourself and you get a concept of who God is by improving your mind and studying. And that Jesus was just an emissary to help us to improve our minds. That's what Gnosticism was. You know something? There's a lot of that going around today. Very similar. Nothing. There is nothing new under the sun. You know, everybody comes up, no, it's not. It's just, it's been around for ages. So So they are combating this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things." So what is our condition? We're supposed to know what? These things. What are these things? Well, the gospel. The truths about God. Okay? Before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. There's a whole bunch of people that are just led away. And it's interesting that as someone gets saved, someone will knock on your door and say, "Well, let me tell you a better way." Yeah, you need this book, but you need this book too. You need to, this thing about Jesus and salvation and everything, but you really need to prove it by working and showing yourself worthy. There's nothing new under the sun. The adversaries back then are the exact same adversaries they are now. They just have different names. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own what? Steadfastness. And folks, if you don't grow in grace and read God's word and pray to Him and have a spiritual walk and be filled with the Spirit, you can be trashed out by a cult. You'll be trashed out. And that's what this is happening here. Their problem was this. We got all sorts of things going on now. But it's just the same thing, just different names. So, why? Because there's falseness out there. How? Well, in Psalm 119, verses 104 through 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." I'm going to keep on harping on this until we all do it as a church. We need to read God's word.
Amen.
Because that's where the doctrine is. That's where reproof comes from. That is the foundational truth that we live on. It's not on somebody, some Christian's book. It's on God's book. It says, "Through thy precepts." Whose precepts? God's precepts. Given us understanding by the Holy Spirit. I what? Get understanding. So if you want to understand God, you need to read His word.
Amen.
If you don't read His word, how can you understand? Doesn't work. And when you get this understanding, therefore, I hate every false way. And then we get the verse that we know. Because God will direct our path. And we won't be going down the false path. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But there's more. But Psalm 119 is so long. So, the entrance of thy words giveth life, light. It giveth what? Understanding unto the simple. Well, I have to be a theologian to understand all this stuff. No. Unless you come to me as a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And a child believes because he trusts. He doesn't sit there and analyze it and try to wiggle his way and say, "How can I do this and then do that?" How? "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Through thy words giveth light and gives understanding in the simple." So then he goes on. He says, "I want you to know this thoroughly." So that's the condition that he wants us. But as I teach students, I let them experience things. You know, because really, when you fly an airplane, you need to kind of see what happens if you don't do it right. Simulator is a great tool for that. Okay? Why did I just crash? Why did this not work? Because you didn't follow the procedure. And we're learning, this week we're learning how to drop precision munitions. And there's a procedure that you have to go through, and it's a checklist, and you go through it and you set all the sensors up and you put all the codes in there and you do this, and you have to manage how this works, and if you don't follow it, it doesn't work. And I had a student, he took four times. On the third time, he gave up. He said, "I'm just going to do it the way you said." Now, and guess what? It worked. Guess what? Okay, so here's the deal. We try everything. Look at Solomon. Solomon tried everything under the sun to figure out the purpose of life. He spends years at this, and really, 700 wives and 1,000 concubines? Come on. Really? Really? And then in the end, after all, he does all this experience, he comes as, here's a conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Could have told you that a long time ago. Okay? We need to experience this. And folks, if you don't seek God, you won't experience Him. If you don't do things for God like Paul did, you won't experience in Him. There's two keys for this. First of all, wisdom. That was the whole purpose of the book of James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him not ask of who? Your best friend? Your Facebook friends? No, God. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and holdeth anything and upbraideth not. We need wisdom because wisdom is the ability to see truth from error. And then spiritual understanding. It's to take that truth. You know, there are some people that are out there that are professional students. They want to just keep on going to school, 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 keep on school. But they never apply anything. They have all this knowledge, but knowledge not applied is worthless. That's right. It's worthless. Mm-hmm. Folks, spirituality not applied is worthless. Faith not acted on is worthless. That's James also. See, Peter writes this. He says, but grow in grace and in the what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. So in verse 10, he says here, he says, I want you to... He says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How would you do that? By living in the Spirit, following His Word, following the instructions, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Another will of God for you, if you change into His image, is to be more like Him, is to know Him more. And I hope that every time you leave here, you know a little bit more. But folks, 3 hours out of the week doesn't, or 1 hour out of the week, or 2 hours out of the week, it's not going to get you very far fast. You need to do it on your own. So he says, I want you to understand it thoroughly. I want you to understand it experientially. To what? Know God's will. And then secondly, to know God's power. If you're not in the will of God, you won't experience God's power. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, He's not going to bless you.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
to know God's power. In verse 11, continue in the prayer. Strengthened with what? All might. According to what? His glorious power. Unto all, there's a P word. Unto all patience and long suffering. Wait a second. You can't connect these three words together. Patience with joy. Nah. Long suffering with joy. Yeah? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We need to know God. We need to know God's will thoroughly. We need to know God's will experientially. But we need to know God's power extensively, which means you don't keep it in a little box. You open up the box and you take it out of the box and you use it. We need to realize that God is all powerful. But my God shall supply what? All your need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Christ had told his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he tells his disciples to do what? Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Another is this, make disciples. So, extensively realize that God is all powerful. Remember, they're combating Gnosticism, which means that the God that did this really wasn't all powerful, because if he was really all powerful, he wouldn't have made this bad stuff too. Practically, just like knowledge has to be applied, understanding has to be applied, God's power has to be practical by patience, long suffering, and joyfulness. What are some of the benefits of patience? We learn how to what? Wait for things. Boy, we need that today, don't we? No one wants to wait for anything. They don't want to wait at a traffic light, don't want to wait at a stop sign, don't want to wait for your tax return to come back, don't want to wait. I want it now. We need to wait. The Bible says wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Let him deny himself. Come unto anybody, come to me, and he will what? Give you what? Rest. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Just like Paul, writing from prison, he's writing all these encouraging letters to all these churches and at various times and stuff, or to the people he's mentoring or discipling. The very last night that Christ was physically on earth, this is his message. These things have I what? Spoken unto you, that my joy might what? Remain in you, because tomorrow is going to be a really different day. And then the next 3 days are going to be really, really tough. And you're not going to understand a lot of stuff. And it's going to take some faith to get through it. That my joy might remain in you, and that what? Your joy, the practical experience of his power and his joy, might be half full. Just a little bit. Might be full. You know, you can only be full. You can't be more than full. But you can be less than full. But we need to be full.
Right.
It's that whole thing again, okay? So, to know God's power extensively. So he wants us to know God's will thoroughly and experientially. By having knowledge and by having wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he goes on and says, look, he says, you need to understand God's power because he has all might, okay? His power is glorious. And then all patience and long suffering practically. And then lastly tonight, we need to magnify God's goodness. In verses 12 through 13, he says, giving thanks. Oh boy. And then after all these things, go read Paul's letters. And when he gets through these prayers, he basically says, hey, he says, you need to be thankful. We all need to be thankful. Okay? Giving thanks unto the who? Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translate means to move from here over to here. I was once like this, but now I am like this after I met Christ. We need to understand what we have coming to us. Not because we deserve it, but because of his grace. We are saints of light. Go back to the definition. Saints mean set apart. We need to be different. Okay? If you were going to go on vacation, what would you do? You would pack all the clothes that you would need to go on vacation. You would make arrangements. You would make preparation. Folks, if we do it for a 1 week vacation, why aren't we doing it to get ready for eternity? We're going to a place that's better than any vacation spot on earth. Okay? We're saints of light. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, to an inheritance what? Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Look at the three things. Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. And what's the word here? Reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
We got a heavenly reservation.
Amen.
Your name's on it.
Yes, sir.
Everybody who believes in Christ, name's on it. Just waiting. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says we're saints of light, okay? It says here in Ephesians 5, 8, it says, for ye were what? Sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. What? Walk as children of light. Okay? Walk as children of light. And then the last thing is, he's given us citizenship in his son's kingdom.
Amen.
God has not changed. His purpose has not changed. Okay? Whoever he redeems, he expects us to change. Okay? In Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, this is what he was telling the nation of Israel. They fell short. Okay? It says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Well, yeah, they were in word only for a while. Eventually they will be. and a what? Holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. But Peter goes on and says this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Four things there. Why? So you, or that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you, what? Out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen. That's right.
Is there some part of your life that's darkness? What's darkness? It's whatever's not of God. And you're holding on to it and saying, "Eh, maybe I'll take care of it some later time." Or, "God really doesn't mind this." Oh, yes, He does. Yes, He does. He says, "Be ye therefore holy, for I am holy." And that's Paul's prayer. He says, look, he says, you need to experience, know the will of God. You need to know it thoroughly. You know it experientially. You need to know God's power extensively and practically. And then because of your future position, your current position in Christ, we just haven't been redeemed yet. But because of that, and because you're supposed to be saints of light, it should be characterized by your walk right now. So my question is this. How are you living tonight? How are you living for God tonight? I hope tonight that I've encouraged you. I need to know more God's will. I need to see God's power. I need to experience that. And then I need to magnify His goodness. Because God's good to me. And I need to be good for Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, just to do these three things tonight. Father, there's something that we're still in darkness about. Lord, just shine your light on it. And Father, help us to confess that tonight. And that we would remove it from our lives. Father, help us to understand that we have what we have reserved for us in eternity. And help it, Lord, to motivate us to live a different life. Lord, help us to have a testimony. Lord, where we were and what we are now. And Father, if someone here says, "I haven't ever experienced that change," Lord, I pray that tonight they would cry out to you and ask forgiveness for their sins and call on you for their salvation. Lord, be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'll stand as we sing, "Have Thine Own Way."